This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Deacon Mark Smith and is entitled, Keep Your Home Fire Burning.
This morning's sermon is entitled, Keep Your Home Fire Burning. It's about your fire in your heart. Do you remember when you first came to Christ, how you felt? Remember how much you wanted to just do everything for Jesus, right? It was like, yeah, here I am, Lord, use me. And then as you go on in life, that sort of dies down. You know, you don't feel that same zeal, that same zest anymore. And that's what we're going to talk about here this morning. In today's world, we often hear when a politician screws something up royally that he made a mistake. We don't call anything sin anymore. You know, sin would imply that there is an almighty God who stands above us and would tell us, you know, hey, that's wrong. Or, heaven help us, that's right. Man's morality will be regulated either internally or externally. You see, you are, at least in part, what you are by virtue of what you've internalized. Perhaps a loving family or maybe a violent family has influenced your moral attitudes. But either way, if morality guided your morality, it would be by the belief that there was a higher authority which were subject to our lives, thoughts, actions, and decisions. If externally, then we will be coerced by societal laws and will either do the right thing because of the love of our Lord or because society is going to punish us if we don't. Society spends a great deal of time and effort changing and rearranging laws that's keeping us citizens in line or in jail. On the other hand, we have but to look at God's word to see what's good and true. God doesn't change and is as applicable today as he was when Scripture was written. Ask yourselves the questions inside your bulletin, and what your answers will be, and how will you pursue them. Our scripture text this morning is taken from Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 22. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodicean write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with many goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear. Anoint thine eyes with eye salves, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant and sit with me on the throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. By way of introduction into this section of Revelation chapters 1 and 3 speak to the seven literal churches. A prevailing sin in the church today is the sin of lukewarmness. These churches are also symbolic in that they have a message for us today. They speak to us prophetically. God warned Israel in Deuteronomy 6:10 against forgetting the Lord as a source of their freedom and salvation. Nine times in Deuteronomy, he tells them not to forget what the Lord hath done for them, and 15 times he tells them to remember the Lord in his deliverance. Deuteronomy 6:10 reads, "And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee a great and godly cities which thou buildest not." The Lord himself is a letter to the church at Laodicea and warns and instructs us against the deadening, lukewarming effects of trusting in material wealth rather than pursuing a vital faith relationship with Jesus Christ. The Laodicean church was a church that had lost its impact on the world because it had become occupied with the world and because it had left the Lord standing outside. They speak to us practically. The problem is that men are putting their faith in the wrong things and in their material world and in the treasures of men. Christ told us in no uncertain times not to do the opposite, to lay up treasures in heaven. And Paul instructs us in 1 Timothy 6:17-19, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they are not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good and that they are rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lead us to eternal life." Paul is not talking about your 401k. Paul is talking about buying gold purified by fire. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on gold, on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for a future, that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. In other words, in the words of the Savior, we need to lay up heavenly treasure. Matthew 6:19. Scripture warns us of the very problem over and over again. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break in and steal." They speak to us powerfully. The faithful and true witness, as mentioned in this clause, defines the word amen, but it is especially designed to contrast Christ's statement of verses 15 and 16 in the statement of the Laodiceans about themselves in verse 17. As a faithful and true witness, he stripped them and also us of all our false appearances and pretenses and rationalizations and excuses. It stresses the need in each of us for honest examination, followed by honest-to-God confession that demonstrates a genuine desire for a change of life. It would further teach us that we need to be in His Word, which reveals our true condition. Hebrews 14:12 reads, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." The Lord said, "Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth." And John 17:17 reads, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." They speak to us personally. The church is made up of individuals, therefore there is a message here for individuals as well. Revelation 3:22 reads, "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Matthew 18:20 reads, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." And there's the curse of lukewarm Christianity. Revelation 3:15-16. "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot, so that then because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. The nation, or the city of Laodicea, was located between two hills. From one hill flowed cold, fresh water. The other hill still had volcanic activity and flowed sulfur water. Hence, the city itself gives us an example of what lukewarm is. When the waters would converge, you would have lukewarm waters. And I think that's why we went here, right, with this sermon, because these people would understand that. Lukewarmness is the state of being a little too cold to be too hot, and a little too hot to be cold. No fire, zeal, or enthusiasm for the things of God, believers who yawn in the face of God. We find ourselves doing that more and more in this country, especially in the open politics of the country. Right? The tragedy happens. We have a day of prayer. The following day, it's business as usual, ignoring God, taking the Ten Commandments out of the courts. Yeah. We say we know what we want, but we don't try to keep what we think we know. How is lukewarmness manifested? Lukewarm about sanctification. And sanctification is an ongoing process, right? You start out, you ask God for salvation, and then you're supposed to grow from there. And it's not a straight line, it's a jagged line. We go ups and downs, but the goal is, right, sanctification. 1 Thessalonians 4:4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. In other words, you should be able to, the Spirit, with the witness of God's Spirit to our spirit, should be able to control the body, which, you know, the body doesn't necessarily want to do good things, doesn't want to do godly things, right? The body wants to do what you see around you in the world today. But you have a higher calling. You have a spiritual calling. Indifferent about personal holiness, Mark 7:6. He answered and said unto them, well hath Esaias prophesied for you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So we have to get our hearts back in line. We have to focus on Jesus. How lukewarmness is manifested. Lukewarm about service. Lack of concern for serving others. What is the reasonable service that God expects of his children? To give their lives over to his service and to honor him with their actions. So service is not your deeds. Your service is to give your life over to Jesus. So when Jesus stands at the door and knocks, and you open the door to the living room and say, come on in, and Jesus says, well, what's in that room back there? No, you can't go there. That's my money. Right? No, you can't go there. That's my reading room. So the goal is to let Jesus in all of those rooms in your heart. Romans 12:1, I beseech ye, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We're lukewarm about the scriptures. We have a lack of real hunger for the scriptures. You know, you've heard it said many times, get up in the morning, the first part, the best part of the day, give it over to God. Get up, say your prayers, open the scriptures, read, get on to work. Right? Is that what we do for the most of us? We might do that once in a while. But for the most part, speaking for myself, I wind up getting up, getting dressed, going to work, and then reflecting on God. I get it a little backwards. John 5:38-40 reads, and you have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures for them. Ye think you have eternal life, and they that which testify to me, and ye will come, and ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. So here again we're saying we're claiming one thing, but we're doing something else. Lukewarmness about supplication. Earnest prayer is not a priority. James 5:16, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So God is still on the throne, and prayer still does change things. God expects you to pray. Lukewarm about sacrifice. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So in your common, everyday walk, you're supposed to have God in your speech, in your thoughts. You're supposed to think God's thoughts after him. Lukewarm about soul winning. Soul winning is not pursued. Then saith unto his disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. So what's the cure for lukewarm Christianity? Revelation 3:18 says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness does not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. The gold is the glory of God. You know how rich you are once you've added up everything and you have that money can't buy and death can't take away. You should invest of your time and your talents and your beliefs in spiritual things, in Jesus Christ. The garments of God's righteousness is white raiment. White raiment in Scripture speaks of righteousness. You remember the wedding and the wedding guest who wouldn't put on the white gown provided for him? And what happened to him? He was cast outside. Eye salve is spiritually discerning. So if you want to discern spiritually the things of God, you have to have them buried in your heart. I know many people who memorize Scripture. I memorize parts of Scripture. But there are people I know who can repeat whole books of the Bible in the New Testament. If you hide it in your heart, if you remember it, then the Holy Spirit can call it to mind when it's needed, right? If it's not there, what's he going to call to mind? Right? So you're missing something by not investing your time in Scripture. The cure for lukewarmness in Christianity is God's love. In Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. How many of us complain when we get rebuked? Seldom do we see it as a good thing. Right? Why is this happening to me? Well, it's happening to you for a reason. And if you're one of God's children and it's happening to you for a good reason, not a bad one. Christ calls us in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and I will sup with him and he with me. That's pretty easy to understand. It's pretty straightforward. So to answer the questions inside your hymnal or your bulletin rather, what will it be? Will the love of God or the concern of society? Where's your citizenship, this world or in heaven? Who's king over you? You or Christ? Are you in your hands or are you in God's hand? Who holds your salvation? In your hand or in the hand of Christ? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we've looked into your word this morning in the Revelation, and we've seen some of what you have for us there. We ask, Father, that you would take this and bless it to our hearts and minds, that we would go away from this place, carrying this with us, and that your spirit might testify to our spirit whenever we need to hear your word. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.